Welcome in latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And he's back, our great friend, Stephen Lassen, senior editor over at Athlon Sports, who's here to pick the game. Stephen, it's finally here. No more previews, predictions, lists, this, that, or the other. We are going to be picking some SEC football games. How are you, my friend?
We made it, Mike. The season is here. It starts tomorrow with some SEC ball. We've got 90 plus games. We've got three top 10 showdowns. So, man, I am fired up and ready to go. I cannot wait to actually see all these teams in action. We've been talking about them all offseason. Like you said, the preseason is over. Let's get it this Saturday and this weekend, man. I can't wait.
And as Army says, two more days till Auburn realizes they need a new coach. So, apologies for starting late. That was all my fault. Some technical difficulties. We're like running around with our heads cut off. Our hair's on fire. There's football. Steven's working. He's a busy man. I'm not so busy, but I am still battling illness, but I feel great, Stephen, and I feel great because college football is here, and the only thing, Stephen, that makes football just a little bit sweeter, if that's even possible, I don't know, is running over to my bookie and putting a wager on some of this action, Stephen, and right now for the Cousins, I mean, I can't believe this. This is like baffling to me, Stephen, but we got a deal for the Cousins. If you go over to my bookie, the online sports book, and put in an initial deposit with the promo code SEC, they're willing to cover your first wager, Stephen, up to $500. If you win it, you could just cash out. You got $500. Didn't cost you anything. You're a big winner, right? But if you lose, they just give you $500 right back. And it could be, as low as $10. So $10 to $500 with that promo code SEC over at MyBookie. Steven's about to give you some winners. He's about to give you his John Mateer lock of the week. Be tuned for that. So, man, I'm ready to dive into it. How about you, Steven?
Mike, as the great Billy Napier said, scared money don't make money, right? So let's make the Cousins some money, right?
He also said, they'll start winning when they sleep better. So, we can't take this man for everything he's got to say, even though that probably is wise advice.
The SEC sleep number game of the week has massive potential to start our show. We could do this if they're to sponsor the show here, right?
Right. So, all right. Steve is going to pick every single game here. But one thing we got to do that we like to do with Steven as well, one of our other sponsors, maybe you're not into wagering on the games. Maybe you're not into wagering and the over-unders, all that. Maybe you're more into the daily fantasy. Steven's a college football fantasy junkie over there. So go check him out at Prize Picks. This is the fifth year in a row. Prize Picks has been partnered with the show, and they got a heck of a deal with over at Prize Picks. Promo code SEC, Steven. You play five, you get 50 right off the bat. And what Prize Picks does, it's not just college football. It's NFL. It's Major League Baseball, NBA. It's all the sports. They got you covered over at Prize Picks. But we love them because they got college football and they set player projections. And all you got to do is look at the projections. If you think a guy's going to do more than the projections or less than the projections, and you can select those and be a big winner over at Prize Picks. So there's all kinds of SEC player projections live right now at Prize Picks. And I've sent them over to Steven. And he's going to give us his favorites. He's got a couple selections for us.
Mike, let's start with passing yardage. Let's go to Saturday morning. Cousin Shane is going to be 100% locked into this game. I am actually going to take Joey Aguilar at 213.5 to go more than. I think this is a good opportunity. A rebuilt Syracuse defense. Let's give Aguilar a chance to kind of push the ball downfield. Maybe it's a slow start. I think Aguilar's got a chance to hit a big play or two. Remember, he's pretty aggressive at pushing the ball downfield. So at 213, I know in his first start, there's some risk. He could be inconsistent. I think taking the more than side is the way to go here. And also, give me Lenoris Sellers, 221.5. Give me the more than side of this. A lot of optimism about South Carolina's receivers coming out of fall camp. Virginia Tech's got a rebuild defense. They do have a new scheme, so there is some unknown there. But Mike, you and I have talked about kind of this offseason, like the growth of Lenore Sellers. Like, let's see him be able to attack downfield a little bit better. But also, when you think about quarterbacks, like in their career, always like rushing as you get kind of more into your career goes down, passing goes up. So you want to see that from him this year. So I'm banking on, like, we start seeing it this game on Sunday. We see Sellers in that passing game take a step forward. So 221.5, I got to go with Sellers more than.
Yeah, you know what's funny, Steven? We sit here and, you know, I've been kind of negative with Tennessee. We could be negative with all our teams, right? And we're sitting here like, oh, Syracuse, ooh, they won a bunch of games. Virginia Tech, they've rebuilt their damn coaching staff because they sucked last year. What do they got for us? You know, we had Nick Roush on. I don't know if you saw it, but he said, hey, watch out, South Carolina. They're in a four-quarter battle. No, I'm flipping it, Steven. These damn teams got to play us. Syracuse got to play Tennessee, just went to the college football playoff. Virginia Tech's got to play South Carolina that should have went to the college football playoff. SEC's going to come out here and whoop some ass. Joey Aguilar's never been surrounded by this much talent. He's never been with a coach as qualified as Josh Heupel. And I know they had a competition, but I mean, I think he was far on a way the best quarterback in camp, and he easily won this job at Tennessee. I love both these selections, and everybody already knows what I think about Lenore Sellers. I think he's the best player in the damn country. So love these selections by you, Steve. But thank you for giving us some Prize Picks winners.
You know, Mike, I think one of the biggest like questions or mysteries for week one, and it's not just in the SEC, it's everywhere, is like everybody has got like new pieces everywhere. I mean, you can flip open your handy dandy Athlon Sports preview and see every team's got like two returning starters, three returning starters. Is as much as like your priors from the previous year matter, when you're dealing with that much turnover and your experience is basically two returning starters, I'm not sure like how appropriately to weigh these things in here. So that's kind of why it's like we look at Syracuse, like they won 10 games. Yeah, but this is a totally different roster this year. That's one of the reasons why I think Aguilar and both Sellers are in for good days on Saturday.
I agree. And I think you've got a rushing for us too, don't you, and a receiving?
I do. Yeah, let's talk rushing here. Trey Wisner is at 53.5. So this is going to play kind of into my theory of the case here. There's no CJ Baxter on the board. But for all the hype about Arch Manning, I've picked him to win the Heisman Trophy. I think this is a defense and run the ball game for Texas. So Trey Wisner, CJ Baxter, are you guys ready? We're going to give you the ball, you know, 20 to 30 times. That's what Steve Sarkisian's probably going to do this week. So I like Trey Wisner at 53.5. I think Ohio State does have some questions about rebuild defense. You know, their defensive tackle spot was a concern exiting spring. I know there's a rebuilt line for Texas, but I'm looking at like opportunities. And in games, there's going to be some blowouts. There's going to be some games that are close. Like, I'm not expecting a ton of points in Texas and Ohio State. I think there's probably a lot of opportunities, though, for Wisner here. So I like him on the more than side. And I'm taking on Friday night in receivers, I'm going to take Cam Coleman. 65.5 in receiving yards. Give me the more than side. Eric Singleton is a little bit banged up, but it looks like he's going to play. Baylor has some question marks in the secondary. I have question marks about Jackson Arnold, but I like the talent here. 2 100-yard games in his last three contests last season. I know it's last season, but you feel like the light switch kind of went on for Cam Coleman, and I think he's going to be an All-America receiver this year. It starts on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much buzz for a lot of these sophomore receivers around the country, and I think most people do know the name Cam Coleman, but I think aside from Auburn fans, I don't think there's many that view him as perhaps the best in the country among the sophomore. And I know Ohio State's got a really good player and all that, but you know, I think Cam Coleman can state his case that he's just as good. Again, you got to remember he was getting production with questionable quarterback play. You know, it's a little bit easier when you're surrounded by talent and you got a, and you're playing a weak ass Big Ten schedule to put up crazy numbers. It's much different in the SEC. Cam Coleman displayed that last year, so I love that selection and Wiser too. Yeah, speaking of the Luckeyes putting a hurting on their ass, I really do think in Arch Manning's first game with a rebuild offensive line, you know, everything you said, you know, the hype. Oh my God, I can't imagine the game day and the Fox, I guess, has a show. I only know that because Portnoy's banned from the stadium. You know, I can only imagine how many times they're going to talk about Arch, but this game is going to be about the trenches, and that's where we're going to really see Texas tested with that rebuild offensive line. So, I think you knocked it out of the park with these ones.
Mike, I'm glad we're on the same page because it's like the first week of the season is really hard to figure this out. I will say go ahead and say this. We have a little bit of breaking news in the SEC here. Looks like Tim Keenan is going to have tightrope surgery at Alabama. You know, there was some question marks earlier today. I think it was Brett McMurphy might be reporting that from On3. So fairly significant news here as we get started with leading up to week one.
Well, the only good, and it's not good by any means, but I don't think we need him against Florida State, Stephen. And we got Georgia a couple weeks away. But no, that is significant news. And that's rough news for Alabama, who, you know, they project to have one of the better defenses in the conference. But I'm seeing what you're saying here. So shout out Brett McMurphy with the reports. Keenan suffered ankle injury Tuesday, will be out multiple games. That's the latest. So hopefully. I know Jam Miller's kind of banged up too, and the prognosis is he's back by Georgia. So, hell, as long as we get our team back by Georgia, Steven, I think that's what we're shooting for in Tuscaloosa right now.
If you look at that schedule, Mike, there's 4 weeks essentially before Georgia. That might be enough time for him to get back out there. I mean, every position is different, but they seem to make quicker recoveries, especially with the tightrope surgery, trying to get guys healthy and back on the field. So, you know, September 27th is a long ways away. It's 1 month away. So I would say that's gotta be the goal at this point, right? You definitely don't need him to beat Wisconsin or ULM, and stay tuned about the Florida State game, but Georgia for sure.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get into the picks here in just a second, but shout out Steven. ACV has gifted a membership. Thank you, ACV. He's really been coming through the last couple of shows. He's fired up for some Texas football. Shout out. I'm trying to buy some time as I look it up here. Shout out to Fatal Recoil. What a name. Oh. You have been gifted. Welcome to
the family.
Yeah. And then the legend, JR. He's done it again, Steven. He's gifted 5 memberships. What a damn good dog you are.
Legend cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out JR. He has gifted memberships to Bobby G Mac, cool name. Ryan Herbeck, Scar D8, Bart Tinkiss, what a name. And Brad Hillman, welcome to
the family.
Yeah, courtesy of the legend JR.
Memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by cousin JR.
All right, Steven, we will delay no longer. SEC football is here. We got a lot of games to hit. 16 different games. It'll you know, whittle itself down as conference play starts here. But let's start with some of the games that are not necessarily going to have a point spread or anything like that. But how about Alabama A&M at Arkansas Saturday? Here we got it, 4:15 Eastern, 3:15 Central on the SEC Network. What's your thoughts on this one?
Mike, I think this is a game that Arkansas should win and should win pretty easily. You know, we talked on the Monday show, you know, Alabama A&M is not one of the better FCS teams. They lost big to Auburn last season. So it should be an easy win, but I think it's less about the final score and more about what we see from Arkansas in this game. New receivers, a lot of new faces on defense. Let's see the second year for Taylen Green in this offense. So I like Arkansas big in this game. I've got them 55, to 10, beating Alabama A&M.
55 to 10. I'll ask you this because I asked Shane, and it's a little tricky of a question, but over under 4.5 touchdowns for Taylen Green. And why it's a little tricky, because we don't know how long he'll play. Heck, he may only play the first half because they're whooping so much ass. But where would you go with Taylen Green over under 4.5 touchdowns in this game?
That, you know, you mentioned college fantasy at the start. That's like always my, when I was used to do the weekly position rankings against these kind of games, you were always like, man, you got to guess how long these guys are going to play. I would probably go four. Four, okay. Seems like a pretty, like, that seems like a safe number in the first half of a blowout where you don't want to get him hurt. You want to put him in bubble wrap before that SEC slate comes up.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is definitely a pick your score type game. Get off to a great start and then head into this, you know, in that state, what should be a big time matchup, which you will be a huge favorite against Arkansas State. But again, this is kind of a pick your score type, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, looking ahead on that schedule for Arkansas, Arkansas State's going to be fired up, you know, for that game, September 6th. And then, of course, you get Ole Miss and Memphis. But for me, this game allows Arkansas to work out some of these new players. Like, how are all these new receivers? Like, let's figure out. It's like, is it Omega Blake? Is it Raylan Sharp? Who's going to be the go-to guy for Taylen Green? I want to see this defense for Arkansas come out and dominate. Let's see how all this is progressing with all the new faces. So great opportunity for Arkansas to work out a lot of new pieces before you kind of get into what is a very difficult schedule this year.
All right. And then I'm seeing a lot of Sooners in the comments, Stephen. So there is a spread for this one. We got Oklahoma favored by 35 points, according to what I've seen here. And I don't have an over-under. I don't know if you do, Stephen, but Illinois State coming to Norman. What's your read on this one? And I say that, but I just mean, how many is John Mateer going to whoop his ass by?
Mike, that's the big question in this game, isn't it? It's like with knowing that Michigan is up next for Oklahoma, how much of the arsenal do you show? But I don't think this is going to be one of those like 30 to nothing type games for Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma takes care of business. Defense going to be strong out of the gate. Illinois State is one of the better FCS teams. Doesn't matter. I think Oklahoma basically almost pitches a shutout here. And I think Mateer in the offense does enough to like knock off the rust, get some of these pieces in live action to get ready for Michigan. So I think knowing that Michigan is up next, maybe the final score isn't as large as some of these other ones in the SEC, but Oklahoma takes care of business. Give me the Sooners, 45, Illinois State, 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, realistically, could be significantly worse than that. But again, I think it's critical to take into account that huge game next week to where you're not playing all your star players for most of the game, and you really don't want to tip your hands, particularly with a new offense and everything, you know?
Absolutely. You don't want to show, like, leave a layer of mystery for Michigan next week. Michigan gets New Mexico. I'm sure they're not going to show a ton, especially with Bryce Underwood starting as a true freshman at quarterback. So there's kind of like both teams, as we think down the road to this week two showdown, both these teams got some rust to knock off, and they're going to do that. But I also think you're probably only going to show like maybe like 30% of what you want to. I mean, we see this all the time where teams kind of slow play week one to get ready for weeks two and three. So I think Oklahoma does enough to put on a show, but also holds a little bit back for next week's game against Michigan.
All right. How about the first game that we're actually going to be getting here, Stephen? Missouri hosting Central Arkansas. Don't have a spread for this one, but it is at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, SEC Network. Again, Thursday. Cannot wait. That's going to be awesome. And it apparently, I don't know if it's official, Stephen. I think it was Pete Thamel that reported it, but sounds like they're going to go Bo for the first half and Sam Horn for the second half. So, I mean, not that that's really relevant to the final score. They're going to kill this team, but what's your prediction for this one?
Mike, I like Missouri 45, Central Arkansas 7. I think Missouri takes care of business here. You know, looking ahead a little bit, there is the game against Kansas next Saturday, so kind of like Oklahoma. How much do you show? But considering they are going to play the two quarterbacks in the two halves, which sounds a lot like Brady Cook and Sam Horn just a couple years ago, I do think you want to see this offense kind of flex its muscles a little bit. Like, you want to stretch out Prabula and Sam Horn. You know, it's hard to read too much into the coaching tea leaves exactly where this quarterback battle is, but we'll know Thursday night exiting this game kind of where both quarterbacks are going into that game against Kansas. So I want to see how they perform. But otherwise, when you look at this Missouri team, like, I'm pretty optimistic about the defense. This is a game they should really probably either pitch a shutout or not give up a whole lot. And just to see the two quarterbacks and maybe some guys like Kevin Coleman, Ahmad Hardy, you don't want them to put up too many snaps in this game. Keep him healthy for Kansas. But a game Missouri should take care of business in.
Well, hey, you did hit on two things I wanted to ask you about it, though. Where do you think, obviously you're just guessing here, but how many carries do you think Ahmad Hardy would get in a game like this? Because I can't wait to see him in a Missouri uniform.
I'd probably set it maybe like 10. I'd probably keep it pretty cautious, like 10 or so. I wouldn't go with too heavy of a workload. Does that seem pretty reasonable?
Yeah, I was thinking a little bit closer, maybe 15 to 20, but
yeah,
it really just depends on how non-competitive this game is. You know,
right.
Like
yeah.
if they're killing them in the first quarter, 100%. But if I don't know, we may want to work him in with some with Sam Horn. I don't know. So that'll be interesting to see. And then hearing so much buzz about these edge defenders for Missouri in a game like this, how many, either sacks or tackles for loss do you anticipate the Missouri defense getting against Central Arkansas?
I think, speaking of rushing attempts here, Nate Noel had 11 in last year's season opener. It's not, necessarily comparable because there was kind of two backs fighting for time, but I could see like 10 to 15 for Ahmad Hardy. You mentioned the defense for Missouri that I think is a point of intrigue, like Damon Wilson, Darius Smith, like guys who were highly touted and counted on to be big time transfer impacts this year. Like, this is the game they should pop. So I think, maybe 4 or 5 sacks. I mean, that may seem a little bit ambitious, but an SEC front against an FCS offensive line, I think that's a game they should be able to take advantage of. So put me down for a couple from this front on Thursday night.
Okay, how about this one, Steven, where I don't have a spread for this one either, but we got the Long Island Sharks against Florida. DJ Lagway is starting. He's playing. And the speculation, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, ESPN Plus. Man, surely the Gators get this one, Steven.
Mike, they should take care of business here. Long Island is not very good. Florida should be able to handle this game with ease. I've got Florida winning 55-6. I think the biggest thing is kind of what you mentioned there with DJ Lagway. It looks like he's going to start. How long does he play? Does he look 100%? Are the receivers at full strength? With as many injuries as Florida has been navigating on offense, I think it would be important to get some of these guys some live game reps together to start building some continuity, because we know how difficult the schedule is. So I think an easy victory here for Florida, kind of building momentum from the end of last year. It's a good, easy way to start the 2025 season for Florida.
Yeah. And here's another one where I understand, and hell, I'm guilty of it. I just did it with all the DJ hype and hoping to see him in action and everything. But I'm almost like more interested in seeing Jaden Baugh year two. I know it's year two for DJ too, but Jaden Baugh, I think, is going to be, the thing that leads this offense, particularly in a game like this where, yeah, DJ is probably going to push the ball down the field and have some explosive plays. But I think, just given Billy's nature, he is going to want to run you to death. And maybe not, I'm not even specifically talking about this opponent, but I'm talking about the whole schedule. That's where Billy Napier, butters his bread there is the ground game.
So you don't think DJ Lagway is going to match the 456 and 3 touchdowns that he threw last year against Samford?
Well, I mean, he very well could, but again, I don't know that you want him on the field that much. You know, that was his.
Yeah,
that was if memory serves, Graham Mertz was maybe injured. I think he had a concussion, if I recall. So they kind of like unleashed DJ because they wanted to get him out there, get his feet wet. His first college is a first start. We got to see what we have in this kid. They know what they got in him now. Now it's more about protecting him and saving him for these conference games, I think.
I think you raise a good point, and it's sort of like the run game with Jaden Ball and the offensive line for Florida. There is a school of thought in some of these games. It's just to keep the clock running as long as, you know, keep it moving. Don't allow a lot of stoppages. Like, yeah, you want to get some guys in, you want to get them some reps, but at the same time, you don't want to play like Jaden Baugh doesn't need to be playing like three quarters here. So what can you do to kind of take a lead, take the air out of the ball, and just get out of here with a win and avoid any injuries? So I think just thinking about where Florida is, like, you know, they've had all these injuries, but building some continuity, you know, getting the offensive line some work here against an overmatched opponent that they got the chance in week two against South Florida. So I think all of these things that we've talked about, great offensive line, Jaden Baugh, DJ Lagway, like they should all shine in this game against Long Island.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of someone that likes to chew up the clock, Steven, how about Vanderbilt? That's what they specialize in, playing Charleston Southern. This is another one where I do not have a point spread, but you can get in for as low as $9, according to ESPN. So go check it out. 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, ESPN Plus, Vanderbilt. Host Charleston Southern, who do you got in this one?
Mike, I think this is another easy win for an SEC team. I've seen some spreads of Vanderbilt about a 36, 37 point favorite. And I think that goes kind of at the theory of the case of like, how many snaps, how many possessions do you get? Certainly we've seen Vanderbilt play a lower possession game. And I don't think you want Diego Pavio working his magic for four quarters. You would prefer he probably just throws a bunch of touchdowns and gets out of here. Also, Eli Stowers banged up too for Vanderbilt. With Virginia Tech up next, that's what you got to be worried about. So this is kind of one of those knock the rust off, fire off some fireworks, get out of here with a win. I like Vanderbilt 45-3 over Charleston Southern.
Whoa, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Diego Pavia magic over there, huh?
Mike, you know, what's interesting is to think about where Vanderbilt is coming into this game compared to where they were last year. Like how quickly their fortunes have changed. Like we're sitting here like they could be one of the highest scoring teams in the SEC this week. Last year was like, man, are they going to be able to get to three wins? That's the built the statue for Diego Pavia.
they've officially turned it around when they're beating Charleston. We don't have to be concerned that they may lose to Charleston Southern, which was a legitimate probably fear just a year ago. You know what?
That is a great point. There is, if they lost to Georgia State last year, so that's a threat, but the Georgia State and Charleston Southern are in different divisions, different categories. Vanderbilt should be safe here. Good for them to have an easy way to start the season in a no sweat kind of game, like you mentioned.
All right. How about next one? How about Marshall at Georgia, Steven? Georgia, huge favorite, of course. Them dogs favored by 39.5 points. That's the latest 55.5 over under. 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central on ESPN. How bad are Kirby and the boys gonna kill old Marshall?
Give me Georgia 48-3, Mike. I think Kirby and the dogs take care of business. And you know, figuring out like which way these games are going to go with all these one-sided spreads and new faces, I do think there ought to be some opportunities here for Georgia with Gunnar Stockton to kind of open things up. You know, he's played some last year. He had two tough defenses in Notre Dame and Texas, but now he gets Marshall and Austin Peay to start the season before you get to Tennessee and Alabama. So I want to see Gunnar Stockton come out, throw the ball, push it downfield, make some big plays, build some confidence these next 2 weeks. If you just look at last year's stats, you might see Marshall won the Sun Belt. They could be a problem. They have, I don't know, 60, 70 new players, new coaching staff. They're picked, I've got them as the lowest rated team in the Sun Belt East. They've gone from first to the bottom. Don't look at last year's stats here for a threat. Georgia will take care of business. It's one of those empty the bench kind of games for Kirby Smart.
Yeah, it's so funny. I haven't really mentioned this, Stephen, but you kind of said it perfectly there. I was all week, I was trying to sum up, like, I love making the graphics for like the previews as we do these games. And I was trying to think, you know, how should I do it for week one? And I was like, well, do I just use last year's stats? I just figured people would not appreciate that. And they're in today's modern college football, they're basically totally irrelevant. And they are particularly irrelevant for a game like this. So I just said to hell with them and I didn't do it. But some of these teams from one season to another, you can't tell what in the world they're going to be.
Yeah, I mean, Marshall, I can double check this in my handy dandy Athlon Sports preview guide just to make sure I'm giving you the right intel here. But they have three returning starters and, you know, over 60 new players. And a lot of those came from the transfer portal. So not only are you trying to mesh like freshmen, you're meshing new schemes. You've got transfers from all across the FBS and all across the country trying to come together. And keep in mind, a lot of rosters changed even more after the spring. So what happened last year with some of these G5 teams is totally irrelevant. And that's definitely the case with Marshall.
Well, who I hope. Oh, wait. We got one more. Let's do UTSA, Texas A&M, Stephen, where we actually do have a spread. Let me double check it. Yep, A&M 24.5 favored at home, over under 57.5. Another night game here, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central on ESPN. How many points is A&M gonna win by?
Mike, I think this is the perfect opener for Texas A&M because UTSA's offense is pretty good. So Owen McCown is their quarterback. He's one of the best in the American. They've got a deep receiving core. Mike Elko is still probably angry about how his secondary finished last season. So what better way to give him an early test than play one of the better G5 quarterbacks and receivers with UTSA? On the other side, though, UTSA, brand new defense, 0 returning starters, a lot of opportunities here for Marcel Reed to build some confidence. The next 2 weeks, confidence builders. With Concepcion, Mario Craver, Terry Bussey. With Notre Dame coming up, it's a great opportunity to sort of work this out and see what this offense looks like. So I like UTSA to maybe hang around a little bit at times in this game, but ultimately, offensive line for A&M, defense, Marcel Reed, they all come up with big plays. A&M wins 41-13.
Ooh. And Elko's gonna be pissed if they give up 13, probably. You know what?
Yeah, I don't you think that this is like the best way for A&M to start the season? Like you can build some confidence, but also be tested at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. Because that is a team where I don't want to put this evil on anybody, Stephen. But there's always a team, right, that is kind of like hyped up, and this is college football. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be A&M. I certainly don't think it will be. But that's the beauty of college football, where we don't think. Did I think Georgia State was going to beat Tennessee? Hell no, I didn't. Yet it happened, and that was right after Jeremy Pruitt promised it was going to be the decade of the Vols. You know what I mean? Like this week one is oftentimes when we get the most surprising of outcomes, when we don't see these things coming. So. I don't know. I would wager there's a team in the SEC that is going to get a very surprising result this weekend, and surprising in the wrong direction. I haven't quite figured out who that is yet. But if it was just a little bit better of an opponent, maybe A&M would be that team, given what they're having to replace on the defensive line this year.
We go back to kind of like what we talked about with Marshall and continuity. Like UTSA has a lot of continuity on their offense, and so, you know, that would worry you. Like if you get a quarterback who gets hot and they've got good skill talent, they can come in. Veteran offensive line too, like all 5 starters are back. So I think UTSA can cause some trouble. I just think like roster depth for A&M, Worst case scenario, like the passing game isn't clicking, turn around, hand the ball off to one of those running backs behind that offensive line. So, you know, to your point on like which team in the SEC is going to be like leaving week one not feeling great, I think there are some candidates, but I think A&M would be pretty low on that list. Like, they're at home. UTSA's defense probably is not ready for this type of matchup. And it's one of those cases where you've had a chance to let Marcel Reed work as the starter for all offseason. You've been able to build an offense around him. Those transfer receivers are well acclimated by now. The upset risk seems low, but stranger things have happened in college football.
Right. All right, one more appetizer here, Stephen, before we get to the main course, and that would be Ole Miss hosting. I hate to say this name out loud, Stephen, but we got Georgia State coming to town here, the SEC Slayers. Ole Miss favored by 35.5 points, over under 60.5. Night game, 7:45 Eastern, 6:45 Central on the SEC Network. Please tell me, Stephen, that Georgia State doesn't pull another stunner.
I think Ole Miss is safe here, Mike. So okay. Georgia State is picked just ahead of Marshall in the Sun Belt East, or I've got them rated slightly better than Marshall. Also, isn't Lane Kiffin kind of playing up this game? Like, he's reminding his team of like history. You know, Tennessee, they've knocked off Vanderbilt. So I Ole Miss should be well aware of Georgia State's history. But this is one of those games, Mike. Georgia State does have some optimism. They've got Dell McGee in his second year. They've got some SEC transfers coming in. The roster talent's getting better. The problem is, I think Ole Miss with Austin Simmons and his start to kind of knock the rust off with the new faces they got at receiver. It's one of those showcase opportunities for him. So given all the change, I think you want to get Austin Simmons some work here. So I think Ole Miss is going to flex their muscles offensively. I'll take them 45-10 over Georgia State.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a safe assumption. This retooled defense, can't wait to see what it looks like. I know everybody's fired up about Austin Simmons. See if he's worthy of all the hype and you know, thrown his way this offseason. Ole Miss fans are thinking he's going to look like $1 million. And shout out friend of the show, Michael Katz, for the DJ Journal. He just did a really interesting article. I retweeted it. He posted it this morning, Stephen, but it's about how these offenses have to kind of adjust to a left-handed passer and all the work that goes into that. So just something fun to read for Ole Miss fans as they get geared up for this game. But I think you about nailed it with this one. I would be kind of stunned if Ole Miss does anything other than handles Georgia State.
I think it would be concerning if Georgia State moves the ball up and down the field on Ole Miss. I think that's probably my, like, in these games, we're trying to evaluate certain things because next week with Kentucky and then even down the road with the Ole Miss schedule with Arkansas and Tulane coming up, those are some tough matchups. So, I'm going to be paying attention to, does Georgia State move the ball well? Does Austin Simmons and this offense look like they're already in midseason form? Because they got an SEC game next week. If Georgia State scores like 24, 30 points, I'm going to be worried about their rebuild defense. Now, it is game one. Don't want to get too worried about things. But given where Georgia State was last year offensively and the questions they have, offensive line and quarterback, that would be a bad sign for Ole Miss if Georgia State is scoring frequently in this game.
All right, Stephen, now we get into, you know, some of these games a little bit juicier, if you ask me. How about Toledo at Kentucky? Stephen, is popular upset prediction here. The line has shifted a little bit since I made this. Kentucky currently favored by 9.5, over-unders 47.5. This is a 12:45 p.m. Eastern, 11:45 a.m. Central kick on the SEC Network. What's your thoughts on Mark Stoops and company?
Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but it feels like that line moved like in favor of Toledo maybe last week, and now it's like back in favor of Kentucky.
It must have been this Calzada news.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the swings at this this game. And honestly, I thought there would be some money coming in on Toledo. Just kind of, you know, the upset chatter for this game has gotten a little bit louder. I think if you're looking for a key to the game, so Toledo was not up to its usual, you know, explosive self on offense last year. And one of the reasons why they struggled was they couldn't run the ball. Their offensive line struggled. They had too many third and longs. So I think if you're Kentucky, early on, you've got to figure out where they are as an offense, like keeping them in those third and long situations. Don't allow their rushing attack to get on track, because that's how Toledo, with some balance, some veteran pieces in their secondary and defense, can create some problems. If you're Kentucky, I think probably a good idea to come out and get to a lead early. Like we see it in these games, whether it's SEC, Big Ten, anybody else, you let the underdog hang around and you know what happens in the fourth quarter. Toledo is dangerous. They've got a good quarterback in Tucker Gleason. They do have some questions. If I am Kentucky, though, I know the offensive line is rebuilt, but I'm going Seth McGowan and the other running backs, get ready, because we're going to try and push these guys from the MAC around. So no upset.
Okay.
Give me Kentucky 27, Toledo 20.
And, you know, there's a lot of discussion, even on this show, Stephen, how important it is for the SEC to win some of these games, like a Texas, Ohio State, we're going to get to, LSU, Clemson, and the marquee ones, Bama, Florida State. But these are important, too. I mean, you can't have SEC losing to freaking Toledo at home. Even that hurts the overall image of the conference, don't you think?
100%. Like we start thinking, you know, the last couple of years, the Big Ten says they're number one because they've won the national championships. Well, if the SEC wants to get back to the top, like it does start by winning the national championship, but also it starts by avoiding like losses like this, like Toledo beat Mississippi State last year. If you're the SEC, like take care of business in this game. Kentucky, same thing for Mississippi State. Some of these others, like no bad losses is important. Like if you just take care of business, that's good. That's often good enough to stay out of the bad headlines, essentially.
Well, speaking of bad headlines, how about Mississippi State trying to avoid them again this year, going to Southern Miss? Interesting here. But Mississippi State, 13.5 point favorites on the road. 61.5 is the over under. This is another early kick, noon Eastern, 11 Central on ESPN. Going to follow College Game Day. So, man, a lot of eyes will be on this game that normally wouldn't be, perhaps. What's your thoughts? Does Jeff Lebby and company, do they start the season the right way?
Mike, is it a good thing that maybe Toledo and Kentucky and Mississippi State Southern Miss are both playing when Texas is playing? And that way, in case there is an upset, like it gets buried a little bit.
I think that is excellent news. Yeah.
The good news is, Mike, I think Mississippi State gets it done. I think they go on the road and get a victory. So, you know, we talk about like what these teams did last year doesn't really matter when you have so many new players. Like Southern Miss has got like about 50 new transfers, and about 20 of them come from Marshall, where their new head coach was Charles Huff. He was at Marshall last season when they won the Sun Belt. They have a good quarterback in Braylon Braxton. I like some of their pieces in the secondary. Josh Moten is a name you may hear for Southern Miss on Saturday. He's one of the better G5 defenders. I still think Mississippi State, though, I don't trust their defense 100%, but I think they can do enough in this game in the combination of Blake Shapen in the passing game. They go on the road and they avoid an upset. So they take care of business 38-24 and get the season started off with some good vibes down in Starkville.
Oh, nice. So not only the win, obviously, but you like them to even cover those, even though just barely, but you do like them to cover the spread as well, huh?
I think a late touchdown gets it done. You know, I've evaluated every position in college football by conference. The two areas that I have the biggest unknowns about, offensive line and defensive line, really for both teams, but for Southern Miss, and I think it's hard, regardless of where you are, to go grab three or four players and ask them to start at those positions. So transition is the word at Southern Miss, given all the new pieces. Like last year was year zero for Mississippi State. And yes, they did reset the roster, but also you've had a year to get that system implemented. You've got a veteran quarterback. You know the system and the people around you. I think that counts for something. So Southern Miss is dangerous, but I'm giving Mississippi State the cover based upon that continuity.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, because we gotta turn this program around, and it starts on Saturday here in Old Hattiesburg. You know what?
I guessing you're not feeling the Mississippi State cover is what I'm.
Hell, I don't know if they win the game. Well, speaking of, I'm not sure they win the damn game. How about let's go to Friday night, because this could be one hell of a showdown here, Stephen. We got Auburn on the road at Baylor. This is a line that's gone back and forth as well. Auburn favored, though, by 2.5, over-under, 58.5 points. Buddy, does... I don't even want to think about what happens to Hugh Freeze if they drop this game. What's your thoughts?
Man, I can't get a good read on this game at all. I mean, I have gone back and forth on what I think is going to happen on Friday night. The only thing I think that may happen is like chaos, because the combination of Hugh Freeze and the ride that Jackson Arnold's play could be in week one, it's going to be fun. It also might be like reach for the Tums if you're an Auburn fan for 3 hours during the game. I think just in terms of matchups, strengths on strengths, Auburn's defense against Baylor's offense. Those two groups are the strengths. And you can look at the other side of the ball and say Auburn's offense and Baylor's defense have question marks. Dave Aranda took over the play calling duties for Baylor's defense. Last year, they got maybe a little bit better. There's still a lot of questions here. And if you're Auburn's defense, this Baylor offense finished 2024 red hot. And so I'm interested to see if they can pick up where they left off. I am having a really hard time figuring out where to go with this prediction, Mike. But I keep coming back to one thing. Baylor's at home. I think they got the better quarterback. I think Auburn just finds a way to get it done.
There's
just something that tells me Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, Auburn defense, maybe some up and down play from Jackson Arnold. Maybe it's a rushing play by Jackson Arnold that gets it done. So I will take Auburn 30, Baylor 27.
Oh, wow. Close one. All right. So do you think that Auburn can survive getting down early, though? Or are they built that way at least?
That's a good question. I don't know that I would want to fall behind like 14-0, because I think getting off to a good start is all. I mean, I know the buzz about, you know, the jokes about building confidence in the offense has been there for Auburn this offseason, but I do think you want to get off to a good start. Don't fall behind, and don't like force your offense into making like a bunch of pressing things like down 14-0. So, you know, and also staying within like 7 or being ahead allows you to run the ball too. So I would, falling behind early could be the worst possible thing here for Auburn.
Do you buy into the narrative at all that a program like a Baylor that is probably always, fighting for relevancy, fighting for respect, and quite honestly, I mean, I think you could throw that on a lot of the, maybe all of the Big 12 at this point in time, but a matchup against a SEC opponent that it gets kind of the best out of them, because they know the narratives could be written. Hey, if we could beat a SEC team, you know, that legitimizes us, legitimizes the conference, but more specifically legitimizes Baylor if they could beat an SEC program. Do you buy into narratives like that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's fair to say that, you know, SEC teams are like they're hunted in these situations. Baylor's looking at, hey, the SEC's at the top of college football. We get these guys coming to our place first game of the year. They've got all these questions. It's a motivator. It's got to be for Baylor. And I also think if you just look at the Baylor kind of tenure under Dave Aranda, I mean, go back to last season when Shedeur Sanders connected on that Hail Mary for Colorado to beat Baylor. It looked like Dave Aranda's tenure was done. And he's been on the hot seat. And of course, they wear the shirts now. We pay players, so they bought into this new era. The vibe shifted down the stretch last year. They are expected to be a Big 12 title contender. So you get Auburn coming to your place in a very winnable game. I bet that you're going to be sky high motivated for this one.
Mm. And last thing, how many, if you had to ballpark it, runs do you think Jackson Arnold has in this? Because that's a big part of his game. I'm kind of curious to know how often they run him. What's your thoughts on that?
I would use his legs early and often. And the confidence thing here, it's almost like sometimes, like, you know, the quarterbacks, they take a hit and it like relieves the pressure a bit. I could almost like see Auburn like you letting Arnold kind of work into the flow of the game a bit by using his legs. So, I mean, maybe at least 10. I think you've got to use him. This is a, knowing that you have some games coming up non-conference wise where, you know, you could maybe take it a little bit easier and work on the passing game. I think you got to go full arsenal, whatever you got to do to win here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, Steven, who else better win? And that would be Alabama. Open, going on the road to Florida State, a totally retooled Florida State. Alabama favored by 13.5 points, over under 50.5 total points, 330 Eastern, 230 Central on ABC. Steven, does the Tide, high tide, is it high tide again? Do they come back? Do they bounce back from last year's disappointing season?
I think they do, Mike. So this is it's a huge opportunity for both teams. Like, if we just take the Florida State side of this, 2-10 last year, rebuilt coaching staff, rebuilt roster, the stadium is renovated. This is like the first game they're unveiling it. And what a soul crusher it would be if Alabama just steamrolls into this game and blows out Florida State. I think Florida State's probably going to try and shorten this game. Gus Malzahn, their offensive coordinator, and Thomas Castellanos, their new quarterback. I think running the quarterback is going to be a priority in this game. We know Castellanos has been talking a big game this offseason. Alabama is very well aware of the disrespect. So I think Florida State is going to try and shorten the game, limit the possessions, keep it lower scoring, and try to find a way to win in the fourth quarter. The problem is, I just think Alabama is just a lot better. And I think Florida State's defense, they got like a new kind of Tony White's their new defensive coordinator. He runs kind of like a 3-3-5. It may take a series or two to figure this out. I believe Ryan Grubb's arrival is going to make a big difference. And I think Ty Simpson, I do think he can execute the passing game with a little bit more consistency than Jalen Milroe. Alabama wins 34-17.
That's a nice, comfortable win there. Do you think Alabama passes for more yards or rushes for more yards in this game?
I think passes. Mm-hmm. I think Simpson in this kind of situation, maybe some short throws to kind of build some confidence. Florida State's secondary, especially once you get past like the top two, has some youth in it. And so I do think that's a spot maybe where you could see like a Jeremy Bernard, like an Isaiah Horton, maybe even a big play by Ryan Williams. Also, pass rushers are a bit of a question for Florida State. Got a lot of transfers they're counting on. So even if Jaden Roberts is banged up, I think Alabama's offensive line is going to be a tough matchup for Florida State.
And is there like a magic number? I don't know if you've even considered this, but for the Florida State quarterback, Thomas Castellanos, I think is his name, a number where, you know, if we keep him under X amount of rushing yards, we'll feel comfortable that Alabama gets the win. Meanwhile, like, let's say he exceeds that number, then all of a sudden maybe you're like, ooh, I don't know. In a Gus Malzahn offense, probably means Florida State's having a lot of success. Can you kind of ballpark that for me?
This is probably aggressive, but I would say if he gets to 100 and it's not like 170 yarder, you know, it's like 4 and 5 and 6 and it's starting to accumulate and they can kind of take up large chunks of time. I think that would be concerning. So I think it's like almost like 75 to 100 is probably that scale for me. Mm-hmm.
So he's almost like a little Diego Pavia-ish.
Yes, Mike, I think Alabama would be served to let Ty Simpson and this offense just come out throwing, like get ahead of Florida State. I Castellanos is a good player, and he can run. Passing game is going to be an issue, like consistency wise. And so I think if you're Alabama, just come out, get up on the scoreboard, get up two scores. Don't let Florida State try to play their game, and Alabama will be leaving Tallahassee with a big win.
All right. Hey, speaking of, better be a big win. Otherwise, you may not be welcome back on this show, Stephen. How about Tennessee, Syracuse in Atlanta? Tennessee, a big favorite, 13.5 points, over under 50.5. This is another early kick, noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on ABC. What's your thoughts on this one?
It could be a long day for Mike and Shane if Tennessee loses, Texas loses, Mississippi State, Kentucky get beat, right? That'd be a bad way to start the season. It's not going to happen, Mike. Tennessee's going to take care of business. A lot of mystery here for both teams. You know, Tennessee loses quite a bit off the playoff squad. Syracuse went 10-3 last year. Biggest reason was Kyle McCord, the Ohio State transfer. Syracuse likes to chuck the ball around. Steve Angeli, their new quarterback from Notre Dame, I think is going to be pretty good in this offense. But man, there's so many new pieces on defense and a rebuilt offensive line. Fran Brown, the coach at Syracuse, he did a great job last year. Probably would have got more national credit if it wasn't for Indiana and SMU. I trust him to reload. I just think Tennessee is just going to do a better job of it in this game. So give me Tennessee 34, Syracuse 20. Aguilar hits a couple big plays, and the Tennessee defense is just too much for Syracuse.
All right, Steven, you keep being on the show. I've decided. But what's your biggest concern here, though, that maybe Syracuse, if anything, could exploit with Tennessee coming into the year?
I think knowing Syracuse likes to chuck the ball around and Jermod McCoy's status, you know, he's the knee injury. Like if Syracuse basically picks up where Kyle McCord left off and they can still move the ball that successfully through the air, they lost their top two receivers. So they are turning over quite a bit of personnel, but I think that would be my fear is Angeli is as good as Kyle McCord. Also, the mystery part of this too, we think we know what these teams are going to do, but with all the new faces, does Syracuse throw something out there? What if Tennessee turns the ball over a couple times too, like Aguilar gets too aggressive? That would be my fear. I think if Tennessee plays a clean game, I think they win.
Yeah. And can you kind of give us a background on that quarterback? Because I know he was at Notre Dame, right? And he was a backup, and you know, it's not like he can't play. Heck, he lost out to a guy last year that they went to the national championship. So can you give us a quick background on why he could be kind of like one of the breakout stars, perhaps, of college football?
Yeah, so Angeli probably would still be at Notre Dame if they didn't think so highly of C.J. Carr, who was one of the top quarterback recruits a couple years ago. Angeli played, if you go back to last year's playoff game, Riley Leonard got banged up. Angeli came in right before the half, and they were, the game was still in doubt. He led a drive to get a field goal right before halftime, and just cold right off the bench showed like zero concern. He looked like a guy who had played 35 games at that point. He also started for Notre Dame when they won the Sun Bowl in 2023, had about 230 passing yards and 3 touchdowns on 15 completions. Any time that he has played in limited time, he has played well. And so I do think he's a good fit for this offense, and I think there's a chance they could get this passing game cranked up. Tennessee's probably catching them at the right time, though, in the first game.
Let me ask you this way, though, Stephen. If Tennessee fails to score X amount of points, you're concerned about the outcome of this game. Does that make sense? Like if they can't get – is there a number there for you?
Maybe like 20, 24. I do trust Tennessee's defense in this spot. Like if we were to rank the position groups, the one that I have the least amount of confidence in is Syracuse's defense. I think both sides will find a way to manufacture some yards, But I think Tennessee's defensive front's probably going to be a lot for Syracuse to handle. So I think Tennessee could win a lower scoring game. But if they're sitting there at 20, I'd be a little bit nervous. I think anything 24 and above is probably the safe spot for Tennessee.
Okay. Well, let's stay in Atlanta, Stephen, for what could be a really good game. Hopefully not for the Gamecocks. South Carolina and Virginia Tech. This is going to be the Sunday game. Again, this is in Atlanta again. We've got the Gamecocks favored by 7.5 points, over under 52.5. This is a weird time here. 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 Central on ESPN. Who do you like in this one?
Mike, I am surprised that South Carolina is only a 7 or 8 point favorite here. I actually thought this spread would be closer to 10 points. Virginia Tech has a ton of new faces. Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You can go every position, brand new offensive line. That's probably news to Dylan Stewart's ears that he is facing a revamped Virginia Tech offensive line. The one constant that they do have is Kyren Drones, their quarterback. Dual threat, very capable of moving the ball. The problem is, I'm not sure a rebuilt Virginia Tech defense is going to get enough stops in this game. So give me Lenore Sellers getting off to a fast start. I think Nick Harbor makes a big play. Give me South Carolina 31, Virginia Tech 20.
Ooh, 31-20. So Gamecocks win. Gamecocks cover. What do you think the over-under for Faison, his total yardage in this game?
That's a good question, because I would imagine he's probably not the only back getting the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like, I would say probably a good day would be like 50 to 60 rushing yards. Because I'm going to guess Sellers is probably going to get his, and you're going to get some of the other backs involved.
Mm-hmm.
So not trying to lowball Faison in his first game, but I definitely probably see a committee here.
Any level of concern with a rebuilt front seven going against this Drones, who you're not alone. I've heard many people say he's a very capable quarterback, but is that advantage Virginia Tech?
I think it is a concern, because he is the type of quarterback that Virginia Tech gets Vanderbilt next week, but they've got to win this game, just given like Brent Pry, their head coach, is on the hot seat. So, I mean, I could see them saying, look, you're just going to have to carry us to a victory. And so if you have to run him 20 to 25 times, you're going to do it. And so with a revamped defensive line and new linebackers, could they have trouble containing Drones? Yeah, I think it's a very realistic possibility here for South Carolina.
But even if that is the reality, and we're not saying it is, but you got to like your chances, though. If you're trading shots, last team with the ball wins. Give me my money's going to be on Lenore Sellers each and every Saturday this fall.
And not to mention, I think you feel better about South Carolina's defense here, too. Just more experience. Like, even if there is some turnover up front, Dylan Stewart, somebody in the secondary, makes a big play. Also, wouldn't it be appropriate if it's Virginia Tech, Frank Beamer, Shane Beamer at South Carolina, if there is a blocked punt for a touchdown by South Carolina? That'd be just the icing on the cake there for a win for South Carolina.
Yeah, I say they go over to that Virginia Tech sideline, steal that damn lunch pail, and take it home to Columbia. You know what?
Those are fighting words there, to take the lunch pail from Virginia Tech.
All right, we got two epic showdowns here Saturday, Stephen. Let's do LSU on the road, top 10 matchup at Clemson. Clemson, what? They're favored 3.5 points, over under 57.5. 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on ABC. The Battle of the Tigers, Battle of Death Valley, Battle of Coaches that are kind of corny. Who do you got winning this one?
This is another one I've gone back and forth on all offseason. I'll start with what I'm worried about for LSU. First of all, I think LSU's defense is going to show up. I think they're going to play better. And I think that we're going to see a much improved LSU defense going forward. This is a tough assignment. Cade Klubnik, the quarterback for Clemson, is one of the best in the country. Clemson brings back a veteran offensive line, also one of the best receiving corps in college football outside of Ohio State. They have all the weapons that they need. They're at home. It's going to be a tough matchup. What worries me the most for LSU is going on the road with a revamped offensive line and four new starters, protecting Garrett Nussmeier in this environment. That's going to be a hard assignment. If LSU comes out and gives Nussmeier protection all night, they're going to win this game. Clemson struggled to stop the run last year. They were 15th in the SEC in the ACC. Caden Durham, maybe we're all worried about protection for Nussmeier. Maybe Caden Durham actually is the kind of the key to the game here for LSU. So I've gone back and forth because, like, there's the narratives too. You've got Brian Kelly trying to win an opener. I also think, just in terms of big picture things here for college football, if Clemson wins this game, they got a cakewalk to maybe the number one seed in the playoff at the end of the year. Now, strength of schedule is not going to be on their side, but to have this win, you know, we talk about, like, how to help the SEC, like, LSU could really help out the conference here by getting a win. I got to go with the home team. I hate to do it for all the great LSU fans out here. Maybe I'll be wrong. I'm going to take Clemson 27, LSU 24.
Interesting. Who do you think is at an advantage in this matchup, Stephen, when it comes specifically to Clemson, their offensive coordinator, what's his name, Garrett Riley,
yeah.
versus LSU defensive coordinator Blake Baker? Who do you think is a better coordinator in this matchup?
I would take the Garrett Riley side of this, simply because, like, if you give me one of the best quarterbacks in the country and all these weapons, and if you're LSU trying to figure out how all of your new pieces come together, I would rather take the side with continuity in the first game of the year. So I would take Riley and Klubnik in that scenario.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reverse, though, not that I'm like this huge Joe Sloan fan, but I don't think he's awful either. But Clemson, they have a new defensive coordinator, right? And I think he's well respected. But the fact that there's lack of continuity there, does that perhaps favor LSU in this matchup?
It could. I will say Clemson has upgraded probably massively a defensive coordinator. So Wes Goodwin was promoted after Brent Venables left. He wasn't a great hire as coordinator. He's much better as a position coach. Tom Allen has been around. You know, he was Penn State's defensive coordinator last season. Also, like, you want to get, like, really super nerdy in the weeds, but Clemson, like, Peter Woods, Clemson defensive lineman, kind of plays end and tackle, and I think they're hoping that they can play him at tackle this year, which helps the rush defense, and they brought in a transfer at defensive end from Purdue. So I think very highly of Tom Allen. Like, is he as good as Brent Venables? Probably not. But I think you'll see a much better group on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. And so once again, even though you've betrayed our LSU brethren, what's your confidence level in this selection?
Not very high. Probably like a 3 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. How many touchdowns will it take from Nuss to win this game, you think?
That's a good question. 3.
Okay.
I would like to see, I mean, LSU has not really run. I mean, you nailed this prediction last year about, like, how do you replace the rushing offense without Jaden Daniels? LSU's got to be able to have some balance, like, especially with a new offensive line and knowing that Clemson struggled last year against the run. I would be willing to, like, as much as we're talking about Garrett Nussmeier here and protection and all that, I would want to find out, like, did Clemson actually solve these issues against the run? I mean, and this is the other thing about, like, Clemson is, if you look at some of the advanced metrics, like with Bill Connelly at ESPN, like, Clemson's a little bit lower than what most people have them projected. I mean, they needed a last second touchdown run by Cade Klubnik to beat Pitt last year. And I think some of their preseason hype is probably maybe a little inflated because they just gave Texas a kind of a battle in the playoff. So they may be number one good. I'm not there on them. But I think this game, the spot, the timing benefits them being the first game of the year.
And then apologies for asking you this on the spot, but any idea how many times Brian Kelly and Dabo Swinney have coached against one another? Because they have quite the track record against one another, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Because, I know it was a couple times when he was the head coach at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting the number.
But just my point being that they're no strangers to one another, which, again, it adds a layer of intrigue for me for this matchup, because I think they know what each other are thinking and in these big time matchups.
That, yeah, 100%. I mean, they're really, there's mystery about some of the position groups, but I think from like a schematic, like what do you expect out of both teams? I think both coaches know each other, like the tendencies and everything. Well, we've got, you know, 10 plus years of these guys being on the sidelines. So there's a lot of familiarity here for sure.
All right, final matchup here, Stephen, saving the best perhaps for the last. Texas, mighty Texas, Stevens. Texas here. Arch Manning. I don't know if you've heard of that guy before. At Ohio State, Stephen, Ohio State, slight favorite here. 1.5. Last I checked, yep, still 1.5. 47.5 over under. I don't understand Fox. They put the best game on in the middle of the morning, 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern time. Steven, who wins this Titanic showdown? And it's because I already know I'm asking you. I already know what you're going to say.
Mike, I will say, isn't it good that we have Texas, Ohio State at noon? Then we have Alabama, Florida State. And then we have Clemson, LSU. They are spread out in their own windows. That is kind of nice, right?
They got something right. Okay. I'll give them that. But this should be the evening game.
Yeah, I mean, 1 versus 3, 1 versus 2. I mean, I think it could be a preview of a playoff game, which also raises the other question is like, I'm terrified of what the overreactions are going to be. Like, Arch Manning could throw an interception on the first pass and everyone's going to say he sucks, and then he's going to end up throwing for 400 yards and leading them to a victory. The overreactions, what this game means, who knows? I'm just going to appreciate it for what it is, and that is a showdown between top five teams. And for all the hype about Arch Manning, Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, I think this game is decided in the trenches, because I think Texas in the offensive line with four new starters, we'll see how it holds up against Ohio State's rebuilt defensive front. Ohio State's offensive line is also going through a bit of change too. Texas has Colin Simmons. They've got Anthony Hill front. They also have a lot of new defensive tackles. And I think if you go back to last year, you know, Michigan was not afraid to try and push around Ohio State. A little bit different scenario, obviously, with personnel and different teams and rivalry and all that. I think if I'm Texas, I try to play big boy ball. I try to say Baxter, Wisner, maybe some runs by Arch Manning on third down to escape a rush. I think it's low scoring. But I like Texas. Texas 24, Ohio State 20. Which team runs the ball? Which team's line of scrimmage holds up better, and also mistakes, like which quarterback can avoid like the bigger mistake in a game with the magnitude and the hype and everything going on around it. So I think it's a close game to the fourth quarter, but give me Texas.
Yeah, and that would make a lot of sense, especially coming from you. But given the fact that tell me if you feel this as well, but I think that Texas, both, you know, if you count Sarkisian as the offensive coordinator, which he is, which you should, I think Texas at both coordinator positions, play caller positions, maybe that's a better way to say it, is at a major advantage in this matchup. That's how I feel. Would you agree with that?
100%. I mean, Ohio State just lost one of the best defensive coordinators, if not the best defensive coordinator, to Penn State. They hired Matt Patricia, who had a very poor track record as an NFL head coach. Maybe as a coordinator, he's better. I think there is a downgrade, though, in terms of personnel and coaches. Offensively, Brian Hartline is taking over for Ryan Day as the play caller. Ryan Day is still involved. I'm not as worried. I am a little bit more worried about the defense. But if you just match them up, like Sark, Hartline, big check for Sark. Kwiatkowski or Matt Patricia, not even close. Give me the Texas defensive staff in that one.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for this game. Did you give out your John Mateer lock of the week? Can you recap that for me?
I did not. My John Mateer lock of the week. Give me Alabama as the lock of the week over Florida State and Alabama to win and cover.
Okay, nice. So, yeah, a good week, debut weekend for the SEC, according to Steven. So I can't wait to see, how this breaks down. There's going to be all kinds of reactions and panics. Hopefully not too much panic. Hopefully no panic, but I know better. There's going to be panic somewhere in the Southeastern Conference come, could be Thursday, could be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Monday next week on the show, right? Panic meter's coming back.
The panic meter will be in full force with Steven on his next appearance of the show. Anything else, man, before we wrap this one up?
I hope everybody enjoys the games this weekend. It has been a long off season, man. I'm just excited to have a full slate of games on Saturday. We've got some stuff on Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and Monday to keep us going. So it's a big weekend for college football. Let's enjoy it. Hope everybody has a good time this weekend with the games, and can't wait to break it down with you next week.
Yeah, and I apologize. I wanted to hold off till the end here. We got some donations. Bo Kelly, welcome to
the family.
Yeah, and shout out Randy, too. Randy became a member. Randy, welcome to
the family.
We appreciate you. ACV, he said, let's see, this was a while ago. It's 155, and OU still sucks, so he's wanted to get that out there. Appreciate you, Steven Up. He gave us $10 for banning some crazy asshole in the comments. Bo said, hey, let's get that Heisman campaign underway, baby. $5. Would you be surprised at all? Not that that's your pick. I know your pick's Arch. Would you be surprised at all, though, if at the end of the year it is a little worse that wins the Heisman?
Not at all. I mean, you know, it's hard because sometimes Heisman doesn't equal best player. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like it's going to go to a quarterback on a top-ranked team for the most part. There's been a few outliers. But I think Sellers has that ability to sort of transcend that kind of, narrative about the Heisman. He's going to have the stats. I think he comes into the year with the right amount of buzz. Like, I don't want to compare him to Lamar Jackson, but you saw that season that Lamar Jackson had. They weren't in the national championship game, but he won it. And I think single-handedly, if they're sitting there at least in the top 25 and he's got a monster statistical season, I think there's a pretty good chance he at least makes it to New York.
And then last one, we got a donation from Crazy Cheese Whiz. What a name. LSU 38-24. What level of surprise if they went into Clemson and just put a whooping on them?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think, you know, there ought to be a little bit of urgency from LSU, especially with the losses to Florida State and USC. I mean, I know they're tired of hearing about that. It's been brought up all offseason. It's been brought up all week. They got to be tired of it. I mean, go into Clemson and get a victory, and they don't have to listen to this anymore. And if LSU wins this game, and let's say Clemson wins the ACC, given the metrics changes for the playoff, even if you lose three games, if you're LSU in the SEC and against good teams, they're going to be still sitting in good shape. So there's a lot at stake here for LSU. Narrative, season-wise, maybe some Heisman hopes for Garrett Nussmeier, too.
I mean, he's certainly in the running. And I was thinking about this. What last thing, I don't know, this is just like a random thought in my head. But, and I've been down on LSU, right? But I could be wrong. They got all the pieces to win it all. I think they got a hell of a lot better quarterback than the last two, really, probably, I don't know if Stetson was kind of special, but certainly the last two quarterbacks, I think Garrett Nussmeier is better than either one of them. I know you know, you need a lot more than just a quarterback to win a national championship, but that's not a even that bold of a statement, is it, do you think?
For, like, as far as, like, SEC teams that won the title, or you...
No, I just don't know their names. That's why I don't acknowledge them. But the Ohio State kid and the Michigan right. guy, I think Nussmeier's better than both of them.
I got you. Yeah, I think so. I think that's a fair statement. J.J. McCarthy at Michigan, I thought, was better than Will Howard.
Right.
But I think in terms of raw talent...
I'm not
talent,
saying they're, like, yeah. awful players by any means. Right. But I'm saying LSU's got, I think, the quarterback to win it all.
Yeah,
he's going to need some help, obviously, but that's something to be, if I'm an LSU fan, I'm at least fired up about that.
You know, actually, that brings up a good point about Saturday's game, too, is that there's not a ton of concerns about, like, Clemson from a personnel standpoint, but their best running back might either be a true freshman or it might be a receiver that was converted to running back, which I'm not overly concerned, but there's a lot of, you know, new faces there. Also, one of their biggest concerns has been, how does their depth hold up on defense, like maybe in the secondary? So if you can protect Nussmeier, Nick Anderson, Aaron Anderson, Barian Brown, you know, Chris Hilton, I mean, Clemson could get to Nussmeier, but can you also cover on the back end too?
Well, Steven, you know, I think you and I could sit here and talk until SEC kicks off, but you got a job to do. I got to let you go before we wrap this one up. Can you remind the cousins how to follow you, how to find your work?
Absolutely. You can read all my work over at AthlonSports.com, at AthlonSteven on Twitter, StevenLCFB over on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. Cousin Shane will be back tonight. We're doing a mailbag show. There's still time on YouTube, on Twitter. We've thrown it out there. Hit us up with a mailbag question. Official Cousins always get their questions answered. So that's going to be 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Until then, we'll catch you here in just a couple hours. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.